Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Probably could have used some El Bandido tequila watching that game in the second half, huh?
That could be a dangerous thing, though, when a game's going that way.
You know, it's handcrafted in the highlands of Jalisco, Mexico, so. Using uncompromised and sustainable distilling processes.
Hey, if you're going to drink some tequila, you drink the good stuff.
Thank you. Visit elbandidoyankee.com to learn more. Let's talk to Bill Moss to learn more about what the hell that was on Sunday Night Football. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Oh, Steve, I'm hurting. Yeah. I was in the El Bandido suite last night.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Hey, well, you got to come with me next time.
Okay, I will. As that sounds, you know, I should have been there last night. That could perhaps have helped me get through that game last night. Bill, I don't know where to start, so you just tell me. What's your reaction after watching the Chiefs get dominated by the Bills on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, so that hurt. I think it wasn't so much about watching the Bills play. I think it's more along the lines of watching these first five games. And that's the problem, is we've seen enough now to know that there is a problem, right? And so where do you start? And there's so many different areas of concern, I think. One thing is the hunger. The hunger's not there anymore, right? You can talk the talk and say all those things, but the hunger is in every other team that plays the Chiefs, and we can clearly see that. Would you agree?
The other teams look hungrier for sure. Yeah, like they look like they want a shot at the champ, and the champs don't look like they're as anxious to have a shot back.
Right. And so, you know, in boxing terms, I would ask you this question. Is it easier to become the heavyweight champ, or is it harder to become the heavyweight champ, or is it harder to defend the heavyweight championship? And I think that's, we're seeing a lot of that too. Now there's other things, you know, there's talent issues. There's some defensive struggle issues, but you combine that with having to defend it. Everybody's best shot, and it becomes tiresome, I think. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's what I've seen the first five games.
It's everybody's Super Bowl. The target's on your back, and we've talked about this, and I think that's what you're saying. It's the Chiefs are finding it very difficult to match the intensity that these other teams have, because everyone has that game circled. You're going to get the Chargers' best shot. You're going to get the Bills' best shot. You're going to get the Browns' best shot. All and the Chiefs just can't keep it at that level. But also, Bill, we're seeing the Chiefs not only maybe have that same intensity, but so many mistakes over and over again. In the last 13 quarters, they have 11 turnovers, and they haven't forced any. You can't. It's just you're making the job too difficult when you're giving the football away and not creating turnovers. And like we were talking about with Sam Ehlinger, you know, at least in 2018, you could say, yeah, the defense is really bad, but they led the league in sacks. And they did have big playability. I don't, like, what do you say about this defense? What's their strength? What do they do well? What can they rely on? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, it's a discipline issue. And I wouldn't just put it towards the defense. I mean, it shows up more on the defensive side, because defense is discipline. It's gap responsibility. So it's showing up more there. But let's be realistic. In the first 5 weeks, what have you seen discipline-wise? They're the fifth most penalized team in the league, okay? The turnover margin is just ridiculous. They're giving up more yards than any team almost in history. And you have things happening where they're lost. There's, you know, not enough men on the field. There's too many men on the field. Players lost their helmet on the sidelines. I mean, combine all these things together, and it comes down to one thing, and that's discipline. And you know, that's a problem. That's a problem. And I told you this before. I told you guys week one. When you have a player as good as Patrick Mahomes, the rest of the team becomes lazy. And we're watching it. You're watching it week in and week out now. So there's an issue there, and it has to get corrected. And I would go back. I would even go back as far as to say, since the Super Bowl, right? We've seen the same thing over and over again, week in and week out. And so there's something there going on that they have to identify it and fix it if they want to save the season and become something down the stretch.
Okay, so Bill, you're kind of the second guy to bring something like this up. It actually was on Friday. Stan Weber was on with us, and this was before the game. And he said ever since that Super Bowl, the team looks distracted to him. We know what's happened with Andy Reid and his family, and Stan pointed out it's not like that issue has just gone away. I mean, his whole family still has to deal with that whole thing, as does the team. Tyrann Mathieu's got a contract issue that's just kind of looming out there. Frank Clark's got some things off the field that are looming out there.
Yeah.
There's just. Do you buy into that? Do you believe this team is just maybe not as focused as they once were?
Well, let's be realistic. Let's not stop there. Everybody has an endorsement package on that team. There's different strings tugging you in different directions, and those things, you know, they just chip and chip and chip and chip away and. I'm not making excuses or blaming everything. I mean, heck, everybody would want that to be in that situation and have all those endorsements and all those things, great money coming in and different revenues. But all those things also take time, right? And so when you go back and you talk about the hunger factor, that you're saying that every other team comes in here is hungrier. I mean, they made Rocky movies about this, right? You can get comfortable, okay? You can get comfortable, and things are good, and life's good. And, you know, where's the eye of the tiger? And we're seeing it from other teams.
And also, one thing we didn't mention, what was one of the biggest storylines of training camp and early in the season? Tyrann Mathieu getting a contract extension. And that didn't happen. And it seemed like every time Brett Veach was made available, certainly every time Tyrann Mathieu was made available, they talked about that. They asked about that. And there was never any resolution there. So you could say that, I mean, that could certainly just, not, maybe not any one of those things alone, but all those things combined. And then also, Bill, there's been a history of the Super Bowl team that loses, having a hangover, having difficulty bouncing back. What about that? Just the fact that the way they lost that Super Bowl, do you subscribe to that theory at all, that it's been a hangover and tough for them to bounce back from just the nature of that loss?
Yeah, you know, it was a tough one, but I think that was the first humbling experience that they had as a team, because everything else was just, you know, a beautiful painting from the time they won the Super Bowl through that push to, you know, to repeat and get there and have your ass handed to you. That's tough. But it's a reality. And so you're seeing that reality. Now you're saying, wow, man, ooh, we're not as good as we thought we were. And it's continued. We've seen it more and more. Now, look, first 5 weeks, we all talked about the first six games that the Chiefs were going to face this year. It's a tough damn schedule. You look at other teams' schedule, it's, you know, it's nothing like what the Chiefs have. And everybody's a playoff contender. So, you know, you couple all those things together and you have what we're witnessing. But, you know, I still go back to think that it's about desire. You know, when Spags said this week about pass rush, he said, you know, it's 20% technique and 80% want, you know, and don't just stop that with a pass rush. That's football in general. And we're seeing more desire to win from the other teams. And that's what we're watching right now.
Well, we're having this conversation. It's reminding me a little bit of the 1998 team that, you know, came off a heartbreaking loss in the postseason the year before, had a really good team, added some pieces that were going to take that really good team over the hump, and they fell apart through the course of the season, and they could never put it back together. I guess my question is, can this team put it back together? How do they, can they, you know, five games in now, discover some of those things that we're talking about them missing right now?
Yeah, They can because of the talent level. You know, it was the first play that Josh Gordon got into the game, right? You have Mecole Hardman, you have on one side, far end. You have Tyreek Hill on the other side. You have Josh Gordon in the slot and Travis Kelce. I mean, are you kidding me? That's a nightmare lineup, right? And Orlando Brown misses his block, and Patrick Holmes is flushed and forced to run out of the pocket. He couldn't even get the chance to set up like your murderer's row. I mean, pick your choice. How do you want to die on this play, right? And sure enough, there's you know, a chink in the armor. And these guys, they have to have the attitude. You don't want to be the weak link in this chain. Don't be the one that blows a play and makes something bad happen. And they have to have that attitude, and they have to have each other's back. This team can come pull it back together just because of the talent they have. But, you know, there's just, you know, it seems like every now and then somebody just really doesn't care or takes a play off. And you can't have that. There's going to be breakdowns.
Bill Moss is our guest, right? Bill, there's been a lot of discussion about Dan Sorensen, and he was, it looked like he had a couple of coverages that were blown that resulted in big plays. And, I mean, I think anyone would admit he hasn't played well this year, a lot of missed tackles, but yet he remains on the field at all times. He played every defensive snap. And people have asked, well, why can't Juan Thornhill get on the field? And it's not always as simple as that. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to it. Whether it's a confidence thing, the coaching staff still trust Dan Sorensen. They don't trust Thornhill, or what, you know, they're not coaching to lose. Why would Sorensen still be getting all these snaps and Thornhill only playing 44% of the snaps like he did last night? What's your explanation for what's happening there in the secondary?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, as far as Juan Thornhill is concerned, I trust the coaches on that. I don't. This isn't like some power struggle between, you know, player personnel and the coaching staff. This is, you know, there's a reason he's not playing. Now, as far as Sorensen goes, I mean, Sorensen can be a respectable player in the league, and it wouldn't show up as bad, and things wouldn't look as bad as it is right now. If there was any resemblance of a pass rush, okay, it would fix a lot of the things we're seeing. But you know, when you have to hang on coverage for a long time, sometimes you're going to get spun around like that. You know, even if it's zone coverage or man or whatever you're in, at some point in time, zone coverage becomes man-to-man coverage if you got to take the zone and cover him long enough. And so, if the quarterback has that much time, it doesn't make things easy for the defensive backs. And I think that's what's showing up more and more now. I mean, there's just nobody around the quarterback, and that's a big problem in a league that is quarterback driven. I mean, you've got to have some kind of pass rush. You've got to get them rattled. I mean, heck, guys, we've had Patrick Mahomes been running around since he's been here, right? That's because people were in the backfield. And we're not seeing that defensively, and they got to find a way to fix it. Sure, hopefully a healthy Chris Jones coming back and Clark and, you know, get some of those guys going. They got to come up with something.
Why hasn't there been much pass rush from Jaron Reed? I thought that was something he was supposed to bring up the middle.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been, actually. And, you know, I don't know whether he's injured or it was just an oversight of what they got. But the productivity just hasn't been there either against the run or the pass, really. I like the other kid outside. We're seeing more and more of him, and he likes to bring it. So maybe when Chris gets healthy again and the combination of Frank Clark back and Chris Jones back, and maybe that'll help. But right now, I think what you're talking about, what we're all talking about, is the deep secondary. And, you know, those things show up when you don't have a pass rush.
Bill Moss is our guest. You know, and Bill, I hesitate to even bring this up because it sounds like I'm making excuses because of poor officiating. But I thought there too many flags last night.
Man.
It was a ref show. And so I want to ask you, because back to back plays, there was a call that went for the Chiefs. They had a holding call on Mitch Morse, which I don't
how where was Where was that?
What the hell was that? And then right after that, I thought it was a makeup call. And Frank Clark, you know, that negated an interception of that. Some people say, well, you know, he used his shoulder to drive him into the ground. But, I mean, is that roughing the passer, Bill? I mean, I
agree with you that they were over officious from my point of view. I don't understand. And that's what you get, though. But here's the thing. You know, Marty always told us, you have to play good enough to not only beat the opponents, but you've got to play good enough to keep the referees out of the game. So it doesn't matter what they call or what they throw against you or for you or whatever. Make them a non-factor. I mean, win so large that it's they're a non-factor. Don't let them be a factor in the game. And it's a great philosophy to go by. I mean, don't just throw your arms up in the air and pout because it was a bad call. I mean, play good enough that you're beating not only your opponents but the refs.
Okay, so now the schedule does soften a little bit. And look, it's the NFL, so you can't just no show and expect to win even if you're playing against a bad team. But what do you expect from the Chiefs in this coming game against Washington and maybe the next couple of games coming up where their schedule looks to be a little bit easier?
Yeah, I mean, you expect three wins coming at you right now, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And that cures a lot of stuff, too. And it builds confidence. And you can get your swagger back a little bit. You know, the grind they had here with these, you know, you're facing all really good teams and early on. And so you get these three wins under your belt. You're back in a good position. And then you attack the latter part of the season. And for these guys, too, you know what? When you look at them, this is a team that's like, come on, man, let's just get this over with and get to the playoffs. And that could be some of it, too, you know? This team just, they want to turn it on when it's time to turn it on, and they can turn it on, and we've seen them do that. And you know, sometimes going through the regular season schedule is just like, ho-hum, okay, let's go. We'll win some, we'll lose some, but let's get to the playoffs. And they've got that kind of mentality about them as well.
Bill, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hope so. Big win, guys. Have a good one.
That was Bill Moss, former Chiefs defensive end, talking about what happened last night as the Chiefs, get hammered on Sunday Night Football, which I'm sure led to a whole bunch of other people getting hammered. So, you know.
In more ways than one.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, and I'm not going to.
I mean, people got, like, knocked out in the stands.
Well, I can't get away from that, can I? I try.
I'm not letting you.
Mm-mm. No, you're not. Well, you've been real quiet in there. You got nothing to say?
What do you want me to say?
Ever since that,
I'd like you to say something.
Ever since he dropped that Darwinism thing,
you had a lot to say about halfway through Mellinger's segment.
He dropped his mic at that point, didn't he?
And then you just,
you end on a high note, right? I'm not going to do any better than that today.
Aren't you?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. I'm not.
So, at least Bill agreed with me there. Because, this sounds like the dumbest time to say this, but I think the Chiefs will win three in a row, and then we'll all be wondering, okay, here's Green Bay, what are they going to do? Because winning three in a row can build confidence and get things going in the right direction, but considering the teams that they'll face, it's not going to tell us a whole lot.
Well, some of it might come down to how they win. You know, and we're assuming wins, which is always a dangerous thing in the NFL because we know you can lose to bad teams in the NFL if you don't come correct. But are they going to win like they did against the Eagles, where the offense or the defense still looks terrible? And
probably.
And if they do, how much confidence is that going to give you? Now, if they go out and they win. And look,
at this point, they just need to win because they're 2-3. They got to win. Who cares how it looks?
But in terms of like, sorry, I'm a sneezer.
Yeah, there's nothing to sneeze at.
Bless you.
Put that shirt on.
Bless you, buddy.
By the way, this divider never comes down, ever. And if anyone tries to, then you'll get X-factored.
Oh, boy. Punch somebody's mouth.
No, I didn't say that. Huh? No, that's not what I said.
That's so getting X-factored, is that like the new version of getting Roar Art?
Yeah, maybe. So, well, you're really having a great time over there.
Look, man.
Who, me?
Him, you, everybody.
Like
you
said, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So let's have some laughs here. And they're going to win some games. And then maybe build some confidence. I think it's interesting what Sam said about like what you think of as the ceiling of this team. I will admit, I do think that what I had in my mind as the ceiling for this team, that's I feel like that is gone. I'll be very surprised if they reach those levels at this point. But they still can be a good team that makes the playoffs and is a dangerous team to everybody.
I mean, they were 6-4 the year they won the Super Bowl. So, you're not defying what you do in the second half or the first half of the season.
Right.
You're defying what you do in December and January. So
they just got to get – they got a lot of stuff to sort out.
Not time to hit the panic button.
Right. They're too talented – and that's why everyone's frustrated.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
But it's not like they're going out there and playing clean football and getting beat. That's so sloppy. Yeah. This is what they and then I'll break. This is what they look like. This is what they look like. And so this is what they are right now because they're 2-3. They look poorly coached. They look like they're not prepared. They look like they're not focused. Mm-hmm. And they play sloppy football on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
An unbelievable amount of penalties or mental errors, turnovers, not taking care of the football, mental mistakes. That's on everybody. The offense, the defense, the special teams, the coaching staff. Nobody is performing up to the level they need to.
And the thing is, those things,
period.
Those things should be correctable. Some of the talent stuff you just can't fix in the middle of the season. You can't automatically make a guy faster or go replace him with a guy who is faster in the middle of the season unless something just falls in your lap. But those things that you just talked about, those things you can get better at. You can improve upon. And if they get those things fixed, there's no reason they can't be a really, really good team. They have some problems on their roster from a talent standpoint, but they have a really, really talented roster.
I got to retweet that. I'm sorry. Former intern of the Stephen St. John Show, Sexual Chocolate, okay. Kevin Moye, tweets in, another great interview with SSJ, Nate, and Bill Moss. I'm loving these Monday morning segments. Also, get that Lysol out and spray down the studio. That was two big sneezes by Bukati. So, that's right.
So, people can't see, because we're on TV this segment, I did sneeze down my shirt.
Right.
I pulled it up over my nose.
Vapor was coming
right down my shirt.
Those.
Yeah, that so t-shirt.
It's all coagulating in my chest.
It is not.
Particles coming out of your mouth are way smaller than the fibers in that t-shirt.
Right. Tell us more. I like when you drop science on us.
Yeah, way too
much. And we'll be back after this on WHB.